This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Aquaculture is currently the third most lucrative fishery in New England after lobster and scallops. Oysters and increasingly kelp are two of the most commonly grown species. Now, a new study says aquaculture could also be an important way to address issues like nutrient pollution and habitat loss. In fact, that study found that New England's waters are among the top 20 locations in the world with the greatest opportunities for restorative aquaculture. Seth Tierkoff is an aquaculture scientist with the Nature Conservancy and lead author of that global assessment. Seth, welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Let's start with this phrase, restorative aquaculture. Aquaculture is, you know, essentially ocean farming, growing marine species. But what makes it restorative?
Aquaculture, as you mentioned, is one of the fastest growing forms of food production if we look out across the world. So what we know is that when we've looked out across aquaculture's history, we've seen a lot of negative impacts associated with aquaculture development in terms of environmental impacts, in terms of nutrient pollution, and in terms of social impacts, in terms of high intensity aquaculture sort of in the wrong places and at the wrong levels. But what we're increasingly understanding through scientific research and the growth of aquaculture in certain places is that aquaculture, specifically thinking here about shellfish and seaweed aquaculture, has the potential to actually provide some ecosystem benefits and environmental benefits. And by that, we're specifically referring to the fact that shellfish and seaweeds are sort of at the bottom of the food web and that they're able to actually take up nutrients from the water column and through harvest actually remove those nutrients from the water column.
And it highlights a bit of an irony in that, as you said, we've traditionally seen nutrient pollution coming from primarily finfish aquaculture. But here you're actually saying one of the things it can address is nutrient pollution because it's a completely different, I guess, setup when you're talking about growing oysters or mussels.
That's correct. So when we're talking about aquaculture, we're really thinking about the production of finfish, shellfish, as well as seaweeds. And so if we're looking across those three categories, what's really interesting and unique as far as sort of an environmental opportunity through aquaculture is the fact that bivalve shellfish are generally filter feeding organisms. So they're actually filtering out phytoplankton from the water column. They're sequestering or taking up those nutrients. And so that's one specific way that we're actually seeing that there's this, you know, unique opportunity for bivalve shellfish and seaweed to provide nutrient pollution mitigation benefits. But there's, in addition to that, as I mentioned, there's this whole realm of research that we're really sort of starting to unlock a deeper understanding of how shellfish and seaweed aquaculture can be a tool to aid ecosystem recovery. And one piece of that is actually around understanding sort of how oysters are further impacting and influencing nutrient dynamics in estuarine systems. And one part of that is a process known as denitrification, which actually is there's variable results out there. But what we're starting to see is that these other processes that are less well known around shellfish and seaweed aquaculture may actually contribute to even greater ecosystem level benefits than previously thought, which is really interesting and exciting.
Another issue that you say, in particular, the kelp and seaweed side of things might help address is the problem of ocean acidification, the change in pH that happens when the ocean absorbs excess carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. What's the story there?
Sure. So this is similar in that there's been a body of research that's really looked at the potential for seaweed farms to provide a localized buffering effect in terms of ocean acidification. And what's really interesting is that seaweed is a photosynthetic organism. And so actually through photosynthesis, seaweeds are taking up carbon dioxide, and they're basically preventing, to a certain extent, that carbon dioxide from converting into carbonic acid, which is what leads to ocean acidification. So we're beginning to get a sense that seaweed farms could be able to provide some localized benefits in terms of reducing the impacts of ocean acidification.
And that has an interesting synergy with the shellfish aquaculture, because, of course, shellfish are in the process of trying to build their shells, they're very much affected by the pH of the ocean.
That's correct. And so there's the potential, as you're alluding to, in terms of co-benefits, in terms of culturing shellfish and seaweeds together. There's been a whole sort of realm of research for the last few decades or more around this idea of integrated multi-trophic aquaculture, which is really just a big phrase way of saying farming multiple species in the same place at the same time. And we've known, in terms of some of the sort of the nutrient dynamics and habitat value of aquaculture, that culturing multiple species at the same time can lead to some sort of symbiotic mutualistic type relationships amongst those cultured species that can provide benefits to those species that are being cultured, but also potentially greater environmental benefits in terms of all of those ecosystem services that I mentioned earlier.
Well, Seth Tierkoff, in this new analysis of aquaculture opportunities around the globe, you do consider nutrient pollution and ocean acidification that we've talked about. Also the fact that, of course, aquaculture can relieve fishing pressure on wild populations. But then there's this last piece, which is habitat restoration. And I have to say, if I think about this in a land-based analogy, right, I don't think of farming as habitat restoration. It's not rebuilding forests or natural fields. So how could aquaculture be part of habitat restoration within the ocean?
So we've really learned that shellfish can provide habitat value in a number of ways. And so specific to shellfish aquaculture, we have a number of projects that are ongoing in the U.S., in Massachusetts, as well as in Washington State, that are utilizing GoPro cameras to actually quantify what is the level of fish and invertebrate habitat utilization of this shellfish gear in the species relative to nearby adjacent reference sites. And it's interesting because what we're realizing is that certain practices actually are able to provide enhanced habitat value. So certain types of gear, like floating gear, which in general can consist of these sort of large cages or baskets or bags that are sort of an open mesh design, actually allow juvenile fish to enter those cages and provides a certain level of refuge from predatory fish. That gear actually provides structure for fouling organisms. So things like you would see on a dock or a piling, that actually can provide an additional food resource for fish and invertebrate species. And then there's other benefits that we're sort of unlocking as we speak through this active research. So it's really thinking about aquaculture in a different way and really trying to understand not just what are the impacts when done poorly, but when done well, what could be and what are some of the benefits that we could expect.
Well, Seth Tierkoff, in this new global assessment that you've done, the goal was to find where are the places in the world where the opportunities for benefits might be the greatest. Is that simply a matter of identifying the places where these problems of habitat loss, of overfishing, nutrient pollution, ocean acidification, where those are the worst? Or are there other factors that go into forming a great opportunity spot?
That's a great question. And that's actually the approach that we took. So we looked across a number of different environmental challenges and sort of flipped the book on them, flipped the lens on them, and looked at them as an opportunity where if shellfish and seaweed aquaculture were to develop and to develop well, which we talk further in the paper about what that means to have done it well. But looking at where those challenges are the greatest and viewing those as the areas where shellfish and seaweed aquaculture development could provide the greatest benefit. So in addition to that, we sort of took it to the next step and thought more about sort of the socioeconomic enabling conditions as well as the sort of human health factors that are important. You know, we're talking here about the social context under which shellfish and seaweed aquaculture could develop in these regions.
Like whether it's well-regulated, whether there are processing plants, that sort of thing?
Precisely. So we incorporated factors around governance, food security, considerations around wastewater treatment prevalence within the regions, and a number of other factors like that that really sort of get at where are the enabling conditions greatest for shellfish and seaweed aquaculture to provide the greatest environmental benefit, but also social benefit as well.
New England's waters, and in fact, the entire east coast of the U.S., comes out as one of the top regions of opportunity globally. What is the mix of conditions that puts it in that top 20?
What we see is that along the east coast of the United States, and in particular in New England, there's a number of challenges around nutrient pollution, around loss of coastal habitats, as I mentioned, as well as challenges around fishing pressure and ocean acidification. And so when we pair those environmental challenges with the sort of social opportunity in terms of the quality of governance, logistical factors, as well as the sort of human health enabling conditions, there's really a significant opportunity that's emerged in the East Coast, and in particular in the New England region, for continued development of shellfish and seaweed aquaculture to provide those benefits that I mentioned.
Seth Tierkoff, when you look around the world, where are some of those other regions of opportunity, and what makes them so ripe for development of aquaculture?
So in terms of the highest priority regions for development of shellfish and seaweed aquaculture to provide those environmental and social benefits, we found the opportunities to be greatest throughout Europe, Australia, North America, as well as parts of Asia and South America. But what that really tells us is that the opportunity is truly global, in terms of there is not just one specific region of the world where this opportunity is greatest. There's opportunity distributed throughout the world for development of these types of aquaculture to provide those benefits.
Seth Tierkoff is an aquaculture scientist with the Nature Conservancy and lead author on a new global assessment of the opportunities for shellfish and seaweed farming to improve the environment while providing food and jobs. Seth, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.